Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to My Favourite Takeaway, the podcast where me and my friend Tom Crane visit special guest homes and enjoy their favourite takeaways with them. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Simran, how are you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. I think we need to start with an apology, Simran.
Right, okay, why? What have you done?
What have you done? I'm so sorry. Well, you'll read about it in the press. It'll be fine. So it turns out, three episodes in, Simran and I realise that we are what is technically referred to as idiots. We have been reading out, I don't know how we've managed this. Yeah. We've been asking for your correspondence and saying, get in contact with your stories of takeaway hell and things that have gone wrong and all the weird things you're into, before rather helpfully reading out the wrong email address each time.
Yeah, that was an error, wasn't it?
It should be pretty simple to get that right, shouldn't it?
That was an error. Also, we'd agonised over this email address for ages, got our graphics guy to do it, like being that back and forth, and then published it. It's the wrong email address.
So the email address, which is ever so snappy, is hello@myfavouritetakeawaypodcast.com. There we are. I'm sure we'll have emails come in that are shorter than that email address, but that is what the email is. We kept saying hello@myfavouritetakeaway.com, which is not right. So if anyone's been sending in stuff to hello@myfavouritetakeaway.com, I'm afraid it's just gone into the ether.
My worry is now that we've offered two email addresses and said one is the wrong one, people will still now email the wrong one.
To be honest, Imran, I'm now slightly confused as to which is the right one already.
If I had a gun to my head right now and they're like, which is the right email address? I'm not sure I can with confidence say which one it is, which is a real problem, I think.
I just say, just pull the trigger. I'm so stressed by this anyway.
Just check out our Instagram.
It is hello@myfavouritetakeawaypodcast.com. That is what you should be sending your stuff to.
Okay.
Now, Simran, that should be enough. You'd think one mistake would be enough for one new podcast.
You would think one mistake would be enough, but there's another mistake, which is Crane and I decided to do our first poll on social media, right? And we thought, okay, it's pretty simple. Let's do a straightforward poll. So Crane decided to write the poll. Crane, I'm throwing you under the bus here, but you wrote the most complicated poll question. So his poll was, after 2 weeks of emails, let's get this settled. Do you agree with Josh Widdicombe that you don't need rice with a curry? Now, that sounds simple, but when you read it again, it potentially has a double negative in there that confuses you. So do you agree that you don't need rice with a curry? Yes or no?
Yeah. It feels like sort of like a riddle that someone would come across in, you know, those sort of like childhood novels you'd read, or maybe like Labyrinth or whatever. But there's two doors and they ask you, do you agree?
So, but I think the easier poll would have been, do you have rice with a curry? Yes or no? Rather than, do you agree that you don't need rice with a curry? Anyway, we're getting used to this.
What's awful is, Simran, is I am a professional writer as well. That's the worst thing about this is literally my job. I was a writer till I shoved something apparently through Google Translate and then whacked it on Instagram. But the point is, if you want to have rice with a curry, have rice with a curry. If you don't. That's the take-home message.
Right, so shall we get onto some of our correspondence that we've had?
Hit me, Simran. What have we got this week?
Okay, so the first one comes from Emma Ridley. And her takeaway confession is that when she's getting a takeaway on a Friday night on her own, she feels quite embarrassed that she's eating by herself. So she'd order enough for two, then pretend to speak to a housemate, say things like, do you want anything else? Then when it was delivered, as she approaches the door, she would shout loudly, it's okay, I'll get it, I mean, it does sound to me like this is just an excuse to double up on an order, doesn't it? And I don't think she should be shy that she's ordering two pizzas for herself. Like, Emma, you do that. That's absolutely fine.
Have you ever had this situation? I've had the situation where Claire, my girlfriend, and I have ordered different takeaways on a delivery app. And then I've gone to collect it at the door and both takeaways have turned up at once. So there's two delivery drivers arriving at your door at the same time. And I've always been at pains as if to go, no, just to be clear, I do live with someone. I'm not, you know, this isn't all for me. Like a fleet of these different things coming down the road for me. Henry VIII has got his food in. Tell you what Emma could do. She could do like a Home Alone situation where you've got a videotape playing and there's lines from a movie popping out, which are supposed to be your flatmate. It sounds like you're corresponding. What else have we had in?
Okay, so the next one we've got Maddie Comer. So Maddie said she wanted to add that she has a weird habit where she would window shop on Deliveroo. So she'd create a meal from various restaurants and then look at the price and feel good that she's not actually spending that amount of money on a takeaway and could be like, whoa, I've saved 30 quid by not indulging today. Do you do this, Crane? I feel like this is very your vibe.
Well, no, I completely get that window shopping thing entirely. So the thing that I do is that when I'm actually ordering a takeaway, what I will often do is I will assemble my dream order on the app. So I'll put like 120 quid's worth of Chinese food on there. And then I'll whittle back from there to what my actual order is going to be. Now, I do this because I like to sort of imagine if I was sort of a millionaire, the sort of thing that I'd order. You know, I'll just get 15 main dishes. It'd be great. But also, I like to fool myself that I'm going to order things that I don't normally order when I know that what I'm going to really whittle back down to is egg fried rice, crispy rink beef, corn crackers. It's always the same thing I whittle back to. But I always use a £120 order just to see what it looked like. I mean, do other people do that? I'd like to hear. Send us messages. Do you do that or am I alone?
I don't know anyone else who could possibly do that. It's such a waste of time.
No, it's enjoyable. It's storytelling. That's what it is. You're letting yourself drop into a world where you have far more money than you actually have, and you can sort of think, this is what I would get if I had completed utter freedom. This is what I'd.
I've never heard someone try and justify their mad takeaway ordering habit as storytelling. You're elevating it to a level it does not deserve.
It is up there with the great works of fiction. Dickens, Orwell. Tolstoy. It's Tolstoy, exactly. Crane doing a £120 Chinese order. It's in the same world, Simran. If you can't see that, you're a fool.
It's part of the canon.
Exactly. So when you go on there, Simran, are you like, right, this is what I'm getting. Bang, bang, bang. Those are my things. That's what I'm getting. Let's get
God,
it done.
No, it's the equivalent of going on Netflix and just scrolling through the titles. I still am completely indecisive when it comes to this sort of stuff.
But then you're clicking on the right thing rather than adding everything as some kind of potential.
I'm not adding everything and then subtracting it like some sort of awful maths quiz.
It does feel a bit like sort of a GCSE maths question, doesn't it? You know, Tom has actually £12 this morning. Anyway, thank you for that, Maddie. That is a great message and something I completely relate to. Now, as always, thank you very much for all the stuff you sent in. There's so much we couldn't get to, but it's really, really lovely that you're sending all this stuff. If you do have stories of takeaway disasters or weird things you're into or foods that you think don't travel well and should never be ordered on delivery apps, I think that's an interesting thing. Let's find out.
Yeah, what doesn't travel well?
Exactly. And if you think there are and you have answers to any of those questions, here, genuinely, with the right email address, is how you get in contact.
You can follow us on Insta on My Favourite Takeaway Podcast, on Twitter on Fav Takeaway Pod, or email us hello@myfavoritetakeawaypodcast.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Right, it's time for our next guest. It's the wonderfully funny Tom Allen, very funny comedian who is the host of Bake Off the Professionals and The Apprentice, You're Fired. We visit him in his new house, in his garden, and we eat some wonderful Indian takeaway.
Which, of course, Simran, is worth saying, it was Michelin-starred Indian takeaway, wasn't it?
It was Michelin-starred Indian takeaway by the chef Atul Kochar.
It was a joy, wasn't it, Simran? We had so much fun. Yeah, here he is.
So we are lucky enough to be in Tom Allen's beautiful new garden.
So lucky.
For anyone listening thinking that Tom lives in an aviary, he doesn't. We're actually outside amongst the birds in his garden.
I live at the top of a tree.
You do? It's uncomfortable, but the views are amazing.
The views are amazing.
They really are. And amazing. Can you put a price on that?
You absolutely cannot.
This is such a beautiful place. So, thank you. Where are we? We're in
Bromley,
okay.
Which is the heart of suburbia, I like to call it. Bromley is London's leafiest borough, and it...
How do people know that? Have they counted the leaves? Is it the way it works?
Because when I went on a school trip at primary school to London Borough of Bromley Council,
yep.
The Civic Centre, we were given a talk by the Sergeant at Arms. And that was the main thing I remembered. That, and then it is London's biggest borough.
I've noticed that actually, when you look out into Tom's garden, there's actually a trampoline that's sort of submerged into the ground.
Yes, which I will insist that everybody has a go on.
Shall we move on to the food? So where is this from?
This is from a wonderful takeaway and restaurant in Petswood, which is very near here, called Indian Essence. And it's been there a few years. And it's really, really wonderful. And what I particularly enjoy about it is they have lots of dishes that I had never had before.
Amazing.
And, or I don't know about, but I really enjoy them.
That sounds fantastic. Indian Essence sounds like a cologne I put on this morning. I'm into it. Let's have it.
Yeah, well.
You said this is run by someone...
Atul Kochar, who's a Michelin-starred Indian chef. He's
amazing.
Been on... Great British Menu, I think, and all these MasterChef and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's quite...
Fantastic.
I'm very excited to try this food, Tom.
So it's been... I like it when this happens. It's been given to me in a box.
It's beautifully presented.
I feel so excited.
Very, very nicely presented.
In the sort of leaky bag where you can see the mint sauce at the bottom.
I like that. So two things I wanted to say. The beginning of the meal, if I was here with my parents, Dad would have gone to pick up whatever we were having.
Yeah.
And Mum would have been... Dad would have said, I've got it. Would have had the heating on in the footwell of the car. And put the so that it's keeping warm, and then Mum would have been in charge of heating the plates. My parents are obsessed with heating the plates. This would be a nightmare for them.
So he specifically pumps the hot air into the footwell of the passenger side.
Yeah, and then would and
hopefully
then
the passenger side. They're not like down by the pedals.
He's
just treading on the madras,
treading it.
it's hot, but it's an absolute mess by the time it turns up.
Disgusting! What have you done to it, Dad?
I like the fact he goes to pick it up as well, because that's the thing that I think is.
Oh, we're going. No, we'll go and pick it up. No, let's just go and pick it up. We'll go, but no, it's just easier.
He won't get it delivered to pick it up.
Which I think I like, A, because it's a good use of the time, and you're in control of it then. You're not just, like, waiting.
Do you remember that?
With a stuffed crust pizza for maybe a 12th birthday? Like, the anticipation of waiting.
Or a 34th.
Or a 34th. Look, this isn't about judging people.
So shall we open up and have a look inside?
I think the thing is, if you're eating in... I don't know if I slightly messed up here. If you're eating in, one might order a selection of, as I believe they're termed, on the menu in this establishment as papads.
Yes. So is poppadom wrong then?
I've never used the word poppadom. At home, it's always been poppadom.
Oh, do you think it's an anglicised?
I think it's an anglicised thing.
So the adom is just
I'll find out and I'll...
Generally,
but that's another sign that this is a good Indian establishment.
Yes.
They're using the original... names.
So, should we open up this box and see what's inside?
So there are some chutneys here, which I know. Tom,
so that looks
like
tamarind or something, I think.
Yes, that looks like tamarind. That looks like your lime pickle.
And that,
I think, is I think it's double mango. I think one is for one of the things we're going to have in a moment. There is a salad here. A little side salad will arrive with.
Oh, that looks like it's been made with care, though. Normally, we're an Indian takeaway. So it feels like an afterthought.
So salads for me growing up were my grandmother's version of a salad was. A bunch of chopped up raw onions, teaspoon of salt.
Yes, I've had that
and
in
you
Greece.
Just dip this onion in the salt.
Delicious.
And that's it.
Really?
And
it takes away all the sting. That my
it's
friend,
delicious.
My
it's
Greek
so
friend
good.
Does that.
Yeah.
There's a salad like that where he basically salts the onions.
Yeah.
And then mixes them with lemon juice, olive oil, and potatoes, and makes a sort of potato salad. But I was amazed. Like the salt cooks the onions.
And what's that doing to the flavour?
Well, it's weird because you'd think that you know when you're cooking onions in salt. You're using the salt to extract the water from the onion, so you're caramelizing
yes,
it, and,
yeah, just, yeah,
and
yeah,
the
yeah,
sweetness
yeah.
comes from it, right? Which is why I thought the heat is doing all that.
Okay.
But in this, it's just raw.
Yeah.
But it does something where you're just taking away the sharpness
yeah.
of the onion.
Just the, how yeah. interesting.
I mean, again, I feel like I'm doing a very anglicized thing here, yeah. of like using the papads mm. as... a sort of crisp that I'm dipping, like in a dip.
That's yep. totally normal. Can I just say, okay. firstly, there's no rules here, guys. Mm. You know, eat it whichever way you like, as long as you have. And also,
great.
Even if they were, I'm not the enforcer of the rules.
No, I know. Yeah. I like to dip them like crisps in yeah. the sauces in a way that I like to go, I like to push myself for the spiciest one, which in my mind is actually the pickled lime, strangely.
You're not moving, so you're not the sort of person that moves the sauce. We're going to get really into the minutiae of this now.
Okay.
You don't move the sauce onto your plate and then dip from the plate, which is what I always do. I'm a scooper.
Oh, I might do that. In a restaurant, I might do that.
Okay.
I might do that, actually.
But tell me now, it's not easy to scoop when yeah. the sauce is on the plate.
Yeah, absolutely. You're scooping from a scoop.
But you can use the onion yeah, as a way of picking up some of the sauce. It works really well.
Okay.
For any listeners, I'd recommend that as a way forward. You'll push one of the sauces into the onion will gather.
There's
the
a lot of that,
with.
But it's always quite unsatisfying. I
think so. I think it's more satisfying scooping it out of the container or the pot or the receptacle, yeah. whatever it is.
Yeah. I think it's yeah. part of this sort of feasting that I really enjoy with any meal of sort of kind of sharing and going like, yeah, we're all dipping. It has a lot of memories for me. Going, I remember very distinctly being taken for a curry
yeah.
for the first time going out to have a curry. I was taken by my mum and dad for an early sitting at the Homesdale Tandoori on Homesdale Road in Bromley. And it was I was probably about 11, which is quite old. We didn't really go out for takeaways very often when I was a kid. It was kind yeah. of a very special occasion. It was like a big deal. We went in there and I remember being so excited by all the flavours and how to do it. And I think I did enjoy the sensation of mixing it and being quite trepidatious about yeah. how spicy something would be. Because my parents didn't cook with spice, really. The idea of something being really hot was quite...
Yeah.
It was very unusual.
So it's interesting, I think, that about sort of English families, that see, curry is a really popular dish.
The national dish.
But I don't see many English households, especially growing up with lots of English, you know, white English friends, they wouldn't really cook with spice in their other food.
Right,
so
yeah,
even,
yeah.
Even though they like curries yeah. and they like the spice... in that they wouldn't then apply it's, that
yeah,
to their
to
own
another
home cooking.
Yeah, that's yeah. funny,
it
isn't it?
Quite yeah. Bland, yeah. Necessarily bland, quite often quite bland, but, you know, it wouldn't be... They would think, oh, OK, yeah. I'm going to add some cumin or some yeah. ground... some paprika or some cayenne peppers or just anything
and I suppose,
like that.
I suppose
like,
traditionally British food doesn't have that sort of element,
no,
that flavour element really
it
in it,
but I
does
suppose,
it
you, I mean, you know, you can add that stuff yeah. to anything
yeah.
and it will be fine, but there's a sort of general resistance to experimentation. Because Crane, you've said before that when it comes to spice, like, you'll measure everything out.
Hugely,
bit, whereas
yeah,
I
yeah.
will never, ever do that.
Really, would you
I
just
would
instinctively
never
kind of judge
yeah,
that?
I
so
just,
how are you doing
just,
it then?
Well, I have, you know, that sort of Indian spice tin
yeah.
that's got a small teaspoon that's not like a normal teaspoon. They're sort of slightly different shaped.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll just do it by eye because that's how my grandmother did it. That's how my mother
So when you're
does
making
it.
The base spices for sort of your...
So I'll know roughly that there needs to be less, slightly less ground cumin and there should be ground coriander.
Oh.
And turmeric, or as I'd call it, haldi, is just like half a teaspoon, like not much at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then amount of chilies is just dependent on your own taste.
That's really interesting.
So I know roughly what it is, and then if there's a big curry, then it's more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a smaller curry, then it's less. But it's amazing how you'll just do it. If you just try it, it'll be fine.
So to bring us back to poppadoms very briefly, would you use poppadoms as a... edible spoon throughout the rest of the meal, as in poppadoms will make a reappearance for me during my main course, and I will use to scoop up curry and scoop up whatever.
I'm open to that suggestion. I have something else in the box that I would prefer to use for that.
Oh, nice. Okay. Well, should we move on to what's in the
box?
That was great poppadoms. So what have we got here then?
So
we're getting stuff out. This is the main course.
Still sort of appetizer.
Oh, great.
Listed as appetizer on this menu. These are called on the menu bhajia.
I call it bhajias.
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 I call them onion bhaji.
Yeah,
right?
I say bhajias.
I'm saying all these
bhajias.
Things wrong.
No, you say
whatever.
I feel so uncultured now.
Say whatever
now
way you want to say it, but I tell you what I'm excited by just looking inside that box.
Yes.
Not literally excited for the right reasons. I'm aware that, you know, this box has been sitting there for, you know...
Two days.
Probably longer than your father would like it to be.
Yeah. It's still warm.
So I'm guessing that naan that's inside that white... packet.
It's actually a bread.
It's bread.
This is a bread.
Can you
selection.
Do me a favour, Tom?
What
can you open that up
yeah.
and put your hand inside? And is it wet? Because if it's wet, yeah, you know, it is. Yeah. It's been there a while, hasn't
because
it?
Because it's a naan, and it's also it's a paratha.
Your paratha.
Yeah. Paratha, sorry. Yeah. Well, should we start with a budger? Yeah.
Let's do that. Let's start with a
budger. Lovely. I love that you're saying budgers. This is budgers. Great. Apart from the budgers, my mother would be so
happy. These look amazing. There's a heat to it as well.
Yeah.
There's
these
more
are a bit interesting.
Yeah.
Growing up, there's leftover Indian food in the house all the time.
Mm-hmm. Really?
So having Indian food for breakfast was a totally normal thing.
Lovely.
So I'd have an onion bhaji for breakfast. I'd have a masala. I'd have a masala omelette. I can have a full curry for breakfast, mm-hmm. and that's absolutely not an issue. Obviously, then going into an all-white English school, smelling of curry in the morning, does not do the stereotype any good. It's a real problem, Matt.
But I think it's better to have lovely food all times of the day. And actually, when you think about it, people are really into I love spicy things in the morning. I think, like, you know, if you have eggs and then you put Tabasco on it, it's lovely.
Would you ever get a breakfast delivery? A takeaway of breakfast.
No, would you?
I have, like, when I've hung out, I've had some low points when I'm hungover.
Oh, no. I feel like we're learning a lot today.
But you wouldn't do that?
No, that's too decadent.
Not even when you're hungover?
No, when I'm hungover, I don't want to open the door to anybody. Okay. I'll be like Cherie Blair, you know, when she took in those flowers.
you can request now on the apps for them to leave it outside. Oh. So you could sort of peek through the letterbox. You'll see your eyes briefly as they're pulling away.
If you're starting your day with a takeaway because you're hungover, that means you're going through the whole day ordering stuff to your house.
Yeah, where's the dinner going to go?
You're not at lunchtime at dinner.
But that's the joy, isn't it? Sure, you embrace it.
Like, oh, okay, now I'll cook for myself. This is not going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't always feel like eating on a hangover. Actually, a lot of the time, I try and just hydrate.
So I have
trying to hydrate as quickly as possible.
I will order a breakfast takeaway, always, if I'm hungover, and I will lie on the bedroom floor with an office fan pointed at the top of my head on rotation. I will also, if my hangover is really bad, I will tie a jumper around my head to create pressure across my eyes. I do all these things.
Oh, do you really feel it? You get a headache.
And then I'll lie down in my pants, and what will happen there
is great for your kids, though.
Opening scene of Apocalypse
Claire,
now.
My girlfriend, will then take lots of photos of me and send photos to groups.
That's funny.
And I'll wake up at 4 in the afternoon, and there'll be like 15 photos of me in my underpants with an office fan. The McDonald's beside me. but with Indians takeaway or Indian food, would it bother you if they forgot the dip? So for me, it would be a real issue. I think I'd be gutted.
Well, yes, but at the same time, I am aware that sometimes I fall into this routine of going, well, that seems to be what's always presented to me. I'm always aware that I don't want to always have, particularly if it's like an anglicised version of it, I'm always, of course, chasing this authentic experience. And actually, if somebody was to say to me, actually, this is not the way to do it, you should have this and you should do it this way and you should eat this, I'd go, of course, yes, that's what I should do. Because I suppose I just want to be just slightly superior to the other people I'm in the restaurant with. Yeah.
Can I ask you, Simran, something? Would you ever eat with your hands at home?
Always.
Is that a thing? Would you?
Okay. My mother still does.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, so with rice in particular.
Really?
So I grew up with my mum and my grandmother eating rice with their hands. My father wouldn't. My father would always eat with a knife, with a fork. And I remember going to a friend's house, and there was an Indian food. There was Indian food and rice. And I went for it with my hands, and I could see that their parents, this guy's parents, was like, "What?" They looked at me.
Really?
And I remember the look like it happened yesterday, and it was look of like, "Oh God, I've sort of revealed who I am."
Okay.
Oh. And it was like, oh, I've been playing the game so well. And now I've been exposed.
Fascinating.
And whether they actually thought that or not, I don't know. I then just moved quite swiftly to a fork.
So did that affect the way, would you not eat with your hands when you're out and about or are you really?
Yeah, I wouldn't do it.
Despite the fact it felt like a natural thing?
Yeah, I don't do it at home anymore either. Like my grandmother, who now passed away, when we would eat together, I would eat with my hands because I'd watch her eat with her hands.
Yeah.
She would occasionally admonish me for not eating with my hands. She didn't speak English. She moved to this country in 1972. And for the 40 years that she was here, didn't speak a word of English.
Wow.
I think she did know the language.
Oh, really?
But she refused to speak it.
Never met anyone worth speaking it to.
There were times where people would get angry. My dad would have a go at something, and my grandmother would speak in Kutchi at my mother, being like, "Well, you've obviously heard what he said." So
yeah.
But she spent all of her life in London, having been a refugee kicked out of Uganda, and came here, and she didn't speak a word of English. And she also thought that I was becoming less and less like a good Gujarati, like a good a good Gujarati boy. One of her things was that I kept eating with knife and fork rather than with my hands. So when I was with just her at home, I would eat with my hands rather than with a fork or a spoon, because it felt like I would be insulting her if I didn't.
I really like, I was speaking to Acaster about this last week, about Ethiopian food, and there's injera, which is this bread which a lot of Ethiopian food is based on. And basically, it's like communal eating. So it's a large circle of this super grain bread, and then they put different types of, there's like vegetarian things and whatever goes on. And then you rip the bread communally and you share it. And there is something really nice to be sort of in touch with it.
There was also a technique I tried to learn, which was sort of scoop with your fingers and you put it in the sort of towards the end of your hand, and you'd use your thumb to push it into your mouth.
Oh.
That was the way to do it. And I was never good at it to begin with. And then I got better and better at it because I'd watched my grandmother do it. But it ends up being quite a sloppy process if you don't know how to do it. When I was in this person's family, I was still learning the process. And they were like, what the hell is this guy doing? Just shoveling the food.
Kitchen hall like a Pollock painting. Sort of
it was more an expression.
Well, that's absolutely fascinating. Well, should we see what we've got from Maine and see if it's something that requires a knife and fork or hands? Let's find out what you've gone for.
Okay, well, I got the bread basket.
Great.
Which has got paratha and naan.
Yeah.
And then I also ordered the tandoori jinga.
Oh.
Which is...
Well, that's quite hot, isn't it, jinga?
It's a section of prawns.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Oh, love that.
Wow. It's what prawns, sorry?
Prawns.
Oh, prawns, prawns.
Prawns. Okay, yeah.
Just prawns. The sea prawns. The ocean prawns.
The prawns, with the shells on.
I know those guys. Funny little guys, lots of legs.
Dead prawns.
Arrogant shrimp.
So prawns.
I think jinga is normally quite spicy. Looking at it, it has a sort of element of chilli about it.
So I like that, and I like the bread, and I also like dal.
Amazing.
Dal makhni.
Oh, yes.
And I like, this is their house speciality there. I think it's very nice. I think it's got a great depth of flavour. I think it's very rich, and I enjoy it very much. Because when I first tried dal, I thought I didn't enjoy it very much, but I think it was quite a sort of, it wasn't as exciting as this one is. Like,
delicious.
It's lovely. It looks very creamy and rich. And it's just prawns are so bright red with like that black char on them.
And my favourite bit in the breads is the, there's a lot of bread in the bread basket, which essentially, because it's a takeaway, is a bread bag, is the burnt bits.
Oh, yeah. It's lovely and like blistered. It's like,
Because of that.
We also have some special extra treats. So that would be more I'd standard have. And then we have a chicken sagwala. And then a Lal Mirch tandoori paneer tikka side dish. It's a side dish. Those are just extras, which I wouldn't normally order, but because there is three of us rather than just a little old me.
Absolutely amazing.
We're bulking out.
So should we go through the dishes then? So, I mean, this chicken sarg is amazing. It's got a real sort of smoothness to it. It's lovely.
It's basically loads of spinach, as far as I can tell. Loads of spinach and a bit of chicken in it. Mm. It's really tasty.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think it's probably quite a lot of butter in that as well.
But there's a creaminess to it.
Essentially, a lot of good food is just basically butter. Shoving a load of butter in it. And there's a lot of butter, chopped spinach, garlic, onions, ghee.
Ghee is the way forward. So I was saying, when I try to make sarg at home, I think they probably blended this, and maybe that's the way to do it with spinach, is to really cut it really fine. Whereas I don't, and I wilt it, and it just becomes a little bit sort of lumpen. But this has got a really nice smoothness.
If you wilt it, you're probably just going to find yourself with a lot of stalk in there as well, and people probably don't like the stalk.
I'm so rubbish at trimming stalks and herbs and all this sort of stuff. I was making something with, what was it? I was just parsley last night, but it's how much you're supposed to take off and how you cut. I'm just rubbish at cutting
herbs.
Yeah, I'm terrible. Really,
I've
really bad.
About you, actually.
it's been
mentioned.
People give me a heads up before I was to do this with you. They were like, Tom.
You got the email, did you, from my agent?
Yeah. He's a great guy, but don't give him a bouquet garni.
Stay away from the subject of
a bouquet garni.
He'll lose a finger and he'll ruin your meal. Do you try to not order the same thing every time?
I try and go, and I pretentiously go, what does the waiter recommend?
Yes. Okay. This is exactly what I do. So do you do that? So you go to a restaurant, do you ask what they recommend? I'm delighted to hear that.
Or like, what's the chef's special?
Yeah,
I'll go that far, which is pathetic.
But would you do that at an Indian restaurant?
I did do it at an Indian restaurant last week. However, what's the chef special thing does worry me, because I sometimes think they're basically trying to fob you off with the thing they're failing to sell that evening.
I would never have the balls to ask what the chef special is.
Oh,
just
think,
in
yeah.
case. I mean, it has to be a certain type of place where you're like, what does the chef recommend? What's the chef special? If you know, what does the chef recommend? Because assuming that they've got something that's off menu.
That is special.
That is special.
In his bag.
In the bag. Yeah. In his
sort of thing he loves to cook, but yeah, just yeah. doesn't have
you wait there, it comes out, it's scrambled egg on toast.
What he likes.
What does the chef like to eat?
So, okay.
That's, of course. Thank you.
Please.
That generally means a lot to me to hear that someone else does that. Is this your first house then from moving out from home from your parents?
Yes.
So have your eating habits changed since leaving home?
Yes, because cooking for one is really difficult. I find that it's very easy just to go, oh, I'll just look at an app on my phone and see what's available.
Yeah.
And then I think as well, by the nature of it, takeaway food is often quite, it's not necessarily geared towards health, because it's supposed to be, I believe, like a treat. Like it's supposed to be a bit indulgent, a bit of a feast, something you might have.
Yeah.
But maybe that's just my mind. But yeah. Do you know what I mean?
No, like, it totally is. But like when you were living with your parents, were you cooking for them? Were they cooking for you?
I liked to cook for them. Sort of... And then I sort of, my dad really likes to cook. So we'd often have whatever he cooked. And he's got really good at cooking, I think, and can do really nice things. And like they're better at being organized and
yeah.
going, I think because as well, generationally, they'll be like, well, we need to have something substantial every day. Whereas I'll be like, for me, just a whisper of mint leaf, and celery stick, and, you know.
Just say the word salad to me, that'll be enough.
Enough. And I'll just drift by.
Was wanting to cook for them part of...
a controlling instinct?
was it part of you trying to... control the idea of you being the child and start trying to go, okay, no, this is a slightly different... Because I know whenever I go home, my mum's push is to make everything for me. And I always like it when I can do something for her. And it goes, actually, I'm an adult now, mum.
Well, you could just clear up afterwards, Tom.
I do. Well, I think that they...
You like to be able to offer something back.
Well, and also it's me going like... a bit like you, like, yeah, I can cook. You know, I can cook. And it's also me going, like, look, we should be using serving plates. We should be using, like, my parents don't tend to do that in that sort of more modern way of cooking. And I'm like, yes, you know, sometimes you can just roast a cauliflower and that's enough for me.
What?
Have you tried crispy cabbage?
when we came in, so we weren't actually planning on recording in the garden, Tom has a beautifully large but echoey kitchen.
Oh,
which is lovely for cooking, but terrible podcast records. But you had the table laid up with wine glasses, placemats, the whole thing, the whole shebang.
I've loved to lay a table since I was maybe 7 or 8 years old.
Really?
To the extent that my parents were like, oh, and I'd be like, Dad, don't move everything. Like, well, I can't move anything. Well, and I'm like, why are you putting mats down? It looks beautiful without mats. Well, you don't want to burn the table. Obsessed with burning the table. Because everything had to be so hot coming out. I don't know why. I don't know what they were sort of...
And was the cutlery placed a thumb width apart?
I was going for a consciously laid back... I might even use the term supper. Which okay. is not something that I would normally.
So really, from the age of 7, you were laying the table expectantly
for table,
supper.
Very like I like things to be done nicely at the table. I like yeah. a nice serving dish. I like the cutlery to be laid out to some extent, like with some thought. You know what I mean? Like just so it just has a sense of occasion
but
about
would you,
it.
Would you extend that to say breakfast in the morning? Are you laying the table before yourself before you eat, or are you just smashing and grab some cereal?
For the breakfast table, no, not so much. Unless, but I do like to do it in a sort of way that could be, let's just say, Instagrammable. For the wood array. And my friend Sharon taught me this as well. I like, always have like a sort of mid-sized plate, which is a brunch plate. Yeah. So I ordered these side plates. And I was like, well, I could use these for brunch. And she was like, no, those plates are too small. And I was like, I ordered them anyway. They arrived. And she's like, what are you going to do with that? That's the sort of plate you give a biscuit to a builder on. And that introduced me to the idea that I wasn't the only one who was particular. And I think I'd shunned it in myself.
That's really interesting.
That sense of, like, wanting to control... Basically, it's trying to control people, but trying to control them through the medium of table laying.
How does that extend to takeaways, then? So let's say if you've got a takeaway here, are you laying the table properly for yourself and are you sitting down and... or what's the deal there? Are you sitting in front
down.
Of the telly to
no,
eat?
No,
what are you doing?
Do okay. not sit in front of the television, okay. Tom, please. Yeah. I'm always at the... No, there is a television in the kitchen, but I would sit at the table... I like to
and also, you're on everything, so what's the point of watching it?
I know how this ends.
It's like a bloody mirror.
You were there at the time.
I'm not eating in this mirror. Oh.
So you wouldn't eat in front of the TV then? So where take me through. Okay, so you've got this meal, and we're not here. What are you doing?
Well, I'm eating it.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, the thing about eating on your own, though, is kind of tragic because you eat quicker because you're not conversing with it. You're not finding things to talk about. You're not remarking on it. You're just going, no, it's, yeah,
are eat. Are you eating in silence?
Well, I won't talk to myself.
How would that work?
No, sorry. Let me explain. The TV's not on. The TV's on.
Oh, no, is, I will is, have the TV
there
on.
There's no music on.
Or I will have the
okay,
music
I'm sorry,
on.
I'm painting sometimes a picture of you and it obviously isn't the case.
Monastic.
Are you eating in complete and utter darkness?
No music. No music.
Or sometimes what I like to put on music-wise is a Spotify playlist, which I found... it's called Cocktail Jazz, and that makes me think that I'm in an episode of Mad Men, just sort of like glamorously drifting around my kitchen, unpacking
dressed,
a pizza.
Are you dressed in a three-piece suit as you're eating?
Well, yes, sometimes, because I find if I take the suit off, then I've just got a pale shirt on, and I don't like to brag to you guys, but I'm quite a messy eater. And so sometimes I will find myself dribbling down. And it's always your favourite thing, because we've got the food on a lower table here. We're all on sort of couches. This is the perfect place to drip just a little bit of something down me. If I was wearing a white shirt, it would be like, it would be sodden.
I'm the sort of person, if I
sauce.
I go out for a meal and I on a night out and I stain something, I will think, well, this evening's ruined. I'm so sort of obsessed by that sort of thing. If it goes down my front, I'm like, oh, I now feel really awkward.
Now I feel really awkward and I'm sad and this is exactly what
I want to go home now.
So I think there's something that Crane does that could be wrong, which is, do you eat in bed, Crane? You ever eaten?
Yes, I do sometimes.
Do you sometimes eat in bed?
Or if a takeaway, I like to eat on the floor often. I like to sit on the floor and eat with a knife and fork and a plate sometimes, which is like a childhood thing. And
why
Claire
was it a childhood thing? Why didn't you have a table?
Because, this is to do with living with my parents. I should explain, the reason we're hushed voices now, by the way, is because Tom...
We've had such a nice time.
Neighbours.
it's suddenly got a bit late.
Tom's neighbours of children.
Because I forget that I live a very nocturnal life, and also a very midweek life, and I forget that the rest of the world doesn't.
And it actually does feel suddenly a lot quieter. I'm not going to lie, the birds have stopped.
Even the birds are like, birds we should go to sleep.
And I think everyone is going to bed. So I feel like talking
it's
about
literally got dark.
It's probably out of time.
There's sleep helping podcasts I listen to, which become quieter as they go along. So
there's a
chance of a lot of people on the commute now falling asleep. Because it's become quite soothing.
Oh, what a nice idea.
Yeah. So I will sit on the floor, and this is partly to do with when I was younger. But and it's about you living with your parents. If I got a takeaway when I was living with my parents, I would always sneak it upstairs and hope my parents wouldn't notice. I'd close the door, and I'd sit in front of the telly, and I'd eat it. And then I'd wait till at the point I was confident they'd gone to sleep. And then I'd take everything downstairs, and I'd wash it up, and I'd hide the ketchup, and they'd never know it had happened.
Why? Why were they?
Because my dad was so worried about wasting money and that sort of thing. I had a fear, and even when I had my first job in my year out, that's what I'd do. I'd work at Safeway in in the bakery where they made me.
Over at the lovely French Sticks. I was about to say the
bakery. Not to brag, Tom, but they made me head of breads of the world, which meant I was in charge of the baguettes.
Well, this is something we should talk about at some point.
I can't believe you've only just told me that.
Yeah.
Are you not on Bake Off Professionals?
I know, it's incredible, isn't it? And then I go home and I eat my thing.
From Safeway breads of the world.
So that's my weird thing. Are there takeaway bugbears you have? Are there things that annoy you, or are there takeaway disasters? Things that you've had that have been an absolute disaster?
Not especially. I like a pizza, but if a pizza is disappointing, I find that kind of sad.
The most disappointing pizza I've ever had was in Edinburgh at the festival, where I had a pizza delivery from one of the large chains, I'm not going to say which one, and there was a footprint on it. Like a boot print. And not just on the box, like baked into the pizza. So it must have been trod on and then put through the oven. So there were charcoal bits around.
How was it? Good? Was it delicious?
I still ate it.
3 seconds? 3 seconds?
It wasn't.
So no, tired.
But, you know, the Edinburgh Festival, we do a lot of weird things, don't we?
Just to survive.
So should we sort of wrap what we normally do at the end is to kind of take stock of what we thought of the meal, really?
Well,
Simran, over to you.
So, Tom, thank you very much for our lovely Indian takeaway from actually the two Michelin-starred Atul Kutcher's restaurant.
Well, a nice treat, eh?
Which is a very nice treat. I've got to say, the selection of dips was fantastic. The saag was very good. The spinach was nice and creamy. I think the prawns, tandoori prawns, were lovely and fresh. Paneer, I'm always not a huge fan of, but this paneer I thought was particularly good.
The vegetables I thought were nice.
The vegetables were good too, and the dal was just lovely, thick and creamy. Yeah. So I think, you know, all in all, I would say this is a fantastic curry.
Well, I'm so glad you've enjoyed it and my choice. I feel like this is like the greatest tradition, though, of any takeaway curry I've ever had, is that this small salad is always provided and never eaten. And it doesn't matter the level of... It doesn't matter if they've got 2 Michelin stars, and it doesn't matter if it hasn't. And I would like to know how much salad is wasted.
Every year, an amount of salad the size of Jupiter is left. Well,
just so listeners know, the salad is sitting here still completely untouched.
Untouched.
And
no
used
point.
Only now as a resting place for some cutlery that's on top of it, and previously the rotis and naans.
Yes.
Tom, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. What a joy to speak to you about this. There's so many things I want to talk to you about Bake Off and all these sort of things, but we haven't got around to it.
Well, it just means you have to come back another time, Tom.
OK, fine. Well, I'm always hungry.
Yeah.
I'd love that.
Tom, a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. Lovely to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. That was the brilliant Tom Allen there. What a joy to speak to him. If you want to get in contact with any of the things that came up in the show or any stories you have to do with takeaways, contact us here.
You can follow us on Insta on My Favourite Takeaway Podcast, on Twitter on Fav Takeaway Pod, or email us hello@myfavouritetakeawaypodcast.com.
Right, that's it for this week. Join us next week for the brilliant comedian Ellie Taylor, who was such a joy to share a meal with. See you next week.
Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.